Welcome here to Procedures for Managing a Multi-Grade Classroom. You know, last summer I had a unique privilege, actually it was in the springtime I guess, to visit a student of mine who is now a teacher. And the thing that stood out to me, I especially wanted to visit with them, and I got there toward the end of the school day, sat in on a few minutes of class, and then the students were dismissed. And we went out on the parking lot with the teacher and the students all lined up on the sidewalk. And as their parents drove in to pick them up, they would say goodbye to everybody, hop in the van and head out. And 15 minutes later, the teacher and I were sitting in the classroom enjoying an after-school discussion. The thing that stands out to me is that I had taught at that school for years and always fussed about how long it took the parents to pick up their children. But I never enforced a procedure enough to make it work out. You know, so I said, "What did you do?" And she said, "Well, we just made a rule that you just have to stand on the sidewalk until your parents come, and one of the teachers stands out there with you, and then after 15 minutes, if your parents still aren't here, you come in and sit at your desk and do work." It changed the whole after-school scene. I remember cringing as kickballs went under vans and children dove in after them. I remember my co-teachers, who stayed at school longer than I did, saying, "Yeah, that mother didn't come till 5 o'clock last night." And there wasn't this problem anymore. Because the children were saying, "Mom, you've got to come pick me up." It wasn't, "Mom, don't hurry so much. We want to play another game of kickball." And so I learned from one of my students something that I should have been bright enough to figure out before. But now I know that. Procedures are good things. One of the things that I want to stress is procedures are even more important in the multi-grade classrooms that most of you experience. And I want to thank you for being willing to teach in a classroom where you have more than one grade that you're responsible for. If you wouldn't be willing to do that, our Christian schools probably wouldn't exist, because from what I'm hearing from the board members, it's hard enough to find teachers that are willing, you know, to try to have a teacher for this first grader and these two second graders and these three third graders wouldn't be practical, but we couldn't do it. So thank you for your willingness to teach in a multi-grade classroom. It might be surprising for you to say that now I would prefer this multi-grade setting over just a single classroom setting because of some of the benefits I've seen in how students relate to each other and learn from each other. I think if God would have wanted only second graders to be in the second grade classroom, he would have probably had families born in litters instead of one at a time. Like he so I just appreciate this opportunity to have several age levels in one room. For your takeaway today, at the top of your handout there, it says, consistency in applying procedures helps to accomplish learning. One of the things that I find is I ask experienced teachers or teachers whose classrooms I've had a chance to look at and say, "I wish mine was like that." When I ask them, one of the first words that comes up is consistency. And so I see here, consistency in applying procedures helps to accomplish learning. You're probably all familiar with this, but I I drew a little diagram up here. This is a little wagon. The rules are this part, and the procedures are the part that just makes it run smoothly. I've read interesting articles already about teachers who got up in front and said, we're not going to have any rules this year. We're just going to say the golden rule, do to others as you would have others doing to you. And that's a neat idea. But I found that in practicality, you've got to put some wheels under that wagon. I have a list of rules and procedures here that Brother Jonah uses in his classroom. And he's got the rules first, and there are only a handful of them. And then he has a list of procedures, and there are 20 or 30 of those. And the thing that I want to notice is, okay, for instance, which one of these two, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or obey them to have the rule over you, which one of those applies to running in the hallway? Second. No, it's partly an obedience issue. This is what we said. But on the other hand, I don't want you to open the door while I'm going past running and you're running out the door and I get a big goose egg. So, you know, this we have to understand that the procedures are just to help the rules work. It's application. Rules include things like the golden rule, like respect. Procedures include things like put the heading of your paper here. Don't run in the hall. You see the difference. I like to think of procedures as more the applications of the rules or the grease that makes the wheels turn smoothly. Well, as soon as you start doing this, though, let's take the example of the common procedure. We don't run in the halls here. Well, I was just speed walking. Or I wasn't running, I was riding my Ripstick. You as a teacher, here's a prime opportunity for you to train the generation that in 10 years from now will be 17, 18, 19, 20 year olds. Because you have to help them see the principle. We were trying to keep everyone safe. We were trying to be considerate of others. The fact that you were going down the hall too fast, whether you were speed walking or on a Ripstick or running, you're missing the point. And you see why I'm relating this to 10 or 15 years down the road? It's because in church the same thing's going to happen. Well, I wasn't doing what you told me I may not do. And so you as teachers have a huge responsibility here in helping them to understand we're obeying principles. I wasn't whispering. I was moving my lips or I was mouthing the words. And then you try to discipline them for not obeying this procedure. And they say, but Dad, I was only telling my friend that our goat had a kid last night. You have to help them understand. And then Dad wonders why he raises his eyebrows. But you see the importance of helping the children to see why we're doing these things. One of the blessings that I experienced last year was stepping into a classroom where the teacher before me had excellent procedures. I hope you have that privilege this year. But if you don't, you have the opportunity to establish them so whoever comes behind you has good procedures. Look at your procedures for teachers. I want to help you. Number one, or letter A there, says don't lose ground. It would have been a pity if this year I would have come into the classroom and, and not understood maybe why the teacher before me said this, and just let it slide. If there's a procedure in place, keep it there. If they're used to already putting their reading here when they're finished with it and putting their math here when they're finished with it, just act like that was your idea all along. Keep it. Don't lose ground. Make a list of your procedures. You're welcome to come up here and look at this one that I borrowed from Brother Jonah after class. But the thing that I notice is that some of the procedures in my classroom are different from Jonah's classroom. Just for instance, I see here, don't wear your shoes in the classroom. Now, it's interesting, you can come to my class tomorrow on culture, but that's a cultural thing. In my classroom, if I say don't wear your shoes in class, I have parents raising their eyebrows. It's just different. So your procedure doesn't have to be exactly like everyone else's, but take time to write them out. Write out a list of procedures. Yesterday, Brother Jonathan already did an excellent job of talking about teacher preparation, and some of these will overlap with that, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Plan your weekly and yearly schedule. That's a procedure that I go through every year. The procedure that Jonathan said, for those of you, I see some new faces in here today, for those of you who didn't hear Jonathan's talk, let me repeat one thing that he said that's been a tremendous help to me in past years. He said, write down the names of your two first graders and then put all of their curriculum on that stack. Write down the name of your third grader and put all of his curriculum on that stack. And to me, it just helps give me a visual. This is what we need to work through. This is what we have to make plans for this year. Ask the teacher before you for their yearly plan. Hopefully, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Plan your weekly and yearly schedule. Letter D, prepare. I wrote two bulletin boards and six art lessons or music lessons. The reason I say this is because once you get into the thick of school, it will be nice a few weeks, months, depending on how often you men are going to change your bulletin boards. But it'll be really nice to pull one out and stick it up. Or better yet, pull one out and have one of your students who's finished with their work stick it up. Or pull out your idea and have them create it and stick it up. You get the idea. But be prepared for that now instead of when you have plenty of other lesson preparation to do, having to try to come up with something for art next week or the bulletin board or your next music class. This is a good time to be doing those things and asking people for ideas right here in this setting. Make notes for your daily lessons for the first week. I like to pretty much have the first week mapped out before it starts. There'll be bumps in the road, but at least this way you have a way of dealing with them. Letter F, prepare useful work for when your students finish their work. Brother Jonah said yesterday there are four words that strike terror into the heart of every man. And he said they're the words we need to talk when your co-teacher comes in there and says that. Well, there are three words that strike terror into my heart, and those are the words, I'm all done, if I'm not prepared to deal with those three words. I'm more scared of those words than I am of behavior issues, because I know that when I hear those words and I'm not prepared, there will be behavior issues. Prepare for when the student's work is finished. And I wrote, copy that line below. Have a plan for 3 weeks from today, when that first student says, I'm all done. I wrote some ideas here, and I purposely left some space there for you to write ideas in. You know, I've noticed that one thing that first-year teachers do is spend a tremendous amount of time decorating their rooms. I almost chuckled yesterday when Brother Jonathan said, talked about cutting out sailboats, because that's the exact example that I was going to use. You've got this dream of putting 180 sailboats on the wall and then taking one off for each day of school. And you're a fast snipper and you spend only 30 seconds each cutting out sailboats. And then you decide to laminate them yet. And you spend a lot of this time before school cutting out sailboats when there are better things to do. Okay, so I'm going to suggest that you just don't cut out any sailboats before school starts. And when your students say, I'm all done, oh, you want to cut out some sailboats. It's really, honestly, it's more on their level than yours. And so, and then maybe even a chart on the wall, I've seen this, where if your work is done, or if you come up against a question that you don't know the answer to, do this next. Now, you notice how often I'm saying another teacher said this to me. My motto is beg, borrow, or steal ideas. And another teacher told me, and I think it was Jonah, he said he's got a rule, it's the three pass method. So if you run up against a math problem that you don't understand, pass over it, go on to the next problem. When you finish your lesson, come back to that problem or that section and try again. If you still don't get it, go on to English. Then, when he's finished with the class that he's having class with, then you may raise your hand and he will come and we'll look at that problem together. So there was, at no point did the student have the opportunity to say, I just was waiting on you. Don't let your students do this. Ever. They may do this, but this is not acceptable. Because you know what's going to happen? When they get a job, their boss is going to have to tell them, if I'm not here and you're stuck, pick up a broom and sweep the floor. But if they're used to thinking on their own and thinking, what else could I do to be profitably occupied? Well, you've just helped them down the road. Read. If there were board members here, I would encourage them to go buy books today. But I encourage you to make sure there are good reading books for your children to read when they get done. Reading is not just something you do to fill in time. Have the students help other students. Have this as one of your procedures. I was amazed at insights my older students gained from helping younger students. And things that they would come and explain to me about problems that the younger students were having. And what do you think we should do about that? Well, you know what? I was thinking about that last night. Oh, there's a teacher right there. But this is a perfect opportunity for them to interact. I even occasionally I'll let a student explain to one of their peers a math concept that they got, but this one didn't get. Because it solidifies it in their mind. And depending on their personalities, that can work out very well. Have older students listen to the younger ones read. And have older students, well, any student can give any other student flashcards for that matter. Doesn't necessarily take teacher time. Christian Light lets students check their own material. And there's no reason a student studying Rod and Staff couldn't check his own math paper if he has time. They can learn from that. Take a worksheet from the folder. My co-teacher has a little folder on the wall. And even the first graders know that if they go like this, and she goes like this, they can go over, pull the next worksheet out, and she knows they are profitably occupied. I just appreciate that order. You can, in my class, a number of times we've had art projects that weren't quite finished yet. Finish your art project. All right. I want to talk about a few more procedures for teachers, and these have to do with after school. I think Brother Uwe and some of the other teachers that we've had already this week have done a good job at giving us a little introduction. But after school, don't think, now procedures are no longer necessary because it's just me here. You can be so much more efficient if you still have procedures. Budget your time. Visit with your co-teachers long enough to feel good about it later. For some of you, that means limit it. For others of us, that means don't get home and think, you know, I really should have asked her how her day was, or maybe there are some things we should talk about the program next week. So I don't know which side of that ditch you fall on. Hopefully you're all right on track. But visit with your co-teachers enough so that you can feel good about it later. That can burn up a lot of time. One of the things I encourage you is, it's so easy to pull out your phone and start texting after school or talking after school or emailing after school. And that can just burn up a tremendous amount of time. So be careful about that. The next one says, don't let scoring interfere with preparing for tomorrow's lesson. We had a good reminder this morning. We score, so we know where our student is, what their problem points are. It's possible to become so obsessed with getting a grade in every box on the book that we're like that farmer who got so interested in his QuickBooks he forgot to plant his corn. I just encourage us to remember to prepare. Brother Jonathan said, do your preparing first and then your scoring. That's good. I generally like to score for a while. I think one reason so many teachers like to score is because it's more black and white than preparing the lesson is. I can look here, I can look here, cha-ching. And you know, but preparing the lesson is it's not so definite sometimes. But take time to prepare for tomorrow. One thing that I like, one procedure that I have, do odd papers first. That one that came in late, which if you have procedures, that shouldn't happen very often. The student who is sick, or the student who's in a grade all by himself, I like to kind of get those first, and then the ones that go faster, we can do it later after I'm a little more tired. if you're a perfectionist, I don't know if there's anyone in here that is or would admit to it. But all of us want to do right and we want to do well. One of the things that I just encourage, if you would say, yeah, I think that's me, remember that part of perfection, part of growing in godliness is temperance. I think you'll find that on your... Yeah, remember temperance. Let me read to you a quote. No effort is too much and time is unimportant. Strangely, this carefulness frequently mutates into a conscience that cannot rest, and the monster compulsion, fueled by fear and imagination, begins to grow. Those sentences come to from the Contender a few months ago and describe many obsessed teachers. You know, we hear Brother Peter speaking, and we want to just design the perfect program for all 12 of our students individually. And we want to all of our students to get A's. We can't bear to get a C, no matter what our ability is. And we want to... I don't know what you want to do. Because, not unfortunately, but I don't have that problem. but do remember that if you could do all of these things and forget the biblical principle of temperance, then you still have a little ways to go to perfection. Just something to remember. I guess if you do get everything done and everything is perfect, you can cut out sailboats. Now, let's look at procedures for students. I think that's a big reason a lot of us are here. Introduce them as they apply. I've noticed that even here at the workshop, they didn't come and tell us everything is going to happen all day and then turn us loose. A lot of us, we've spent time on these procedures and we can't wait to share them. And so we say, we're not going to plan on doing any work at school the first day. We're just going to pass out books and talk about procedures. Plan on doing some work the first day. And introduce your procedures as they apply. They don't need to know the lunchtime procedure until lunchtime. They don't need to know the recess procedure until recess. Okay? First, we're going to talk about how we're going to put the headings on our paper and how we're going to set up our page just the way the math page is set up. I think that's what we're going to talk about. Okay? Here's the reason. The students who already, they were here last year, they know the deal, they're going to be bored and tune you out. The students who don't know the procedures here, if you give them the whole load at one time, it's going to overwhelm them. Give the procedures as they apply. In class, Jonathan Erb says, give me five. And they all understand what he means by that. Give me your eyes. Give me your ears. Give me your hands. Like, put your hands on your desk. Be quiet and be still. And then you have what it takes to start a class with them. So that's what give me five means. That's just a procedure that he has. Another procedure that he has that I like is, if I'm with third grade, fourth grade is supposed to go ahead and begin with their math lesson or English lesson. And then when he gets to fourth grade, he will just quickly check over their lesson, having the teacher's book right here in his hands. If they missed a problem, he'll say, this problem is wrong. And they have opportunity to go back, fix that problem, and it won't be counted wrong when he scores their paper. It's a motivation, especially for students who care about their scores. One of the things that frustrates a lot of people about this multi-grade classroom is I can't answer the hands as soon as they pop up. You know what? That's wonderful. My high school teacher helped me to put a CD player in my car this week. We got a van, and I took the family to look at it, and they said, I said, well, what do you think? Does the CD player work? That was number one priority. I didn't even check. Anyway, we have a CD player that works. How did my high school teacher help me install that CD player? It's because he taught me to read the directions. There were pages and pages, some of them Spanish, some of them French, but there are a few English pages that I read. And I read the directions and I got it, and it works. I had an experience one time in a multi-grade classroom, and I was going to do one of these good ideas that I heard about and have a handicap day. We had all kinds of handicaps, and we had them in a hat, and we were supposed to pick them out of the hat. And it's like I do sometimes. I didn't think through everything before I just did it. And I picked blind. I don't know sure what to do, but let me tell you what I learned that day. I got a stick, and I went tapping around between the desks. I said, you may do this if you have a question. And so I would go over there, and they say, number one. I say, well, what does number one say? And they'd read it to me. Okay, what do the directions say? And they'd start reading through the directions. And I said, well, which paragraph do you think is in if it was in social studies? And you know the words I heard most often that day? Oh, never mind. Because they realized that they were going to have to read through this to find the answer. And it taught me, you know what? They're leaning on me. And so that was an eye-opener and a lesson to me. Have a system for dealing with requests. We already mentioned a request for help, like the three tries method. Try it, come back to it. Have a system for mobility. You see, I wrote there on 3D, I wrote mobility. What I mean by that is you need to get a dictionary, you need to get a drink, you need to go to the restroom. Have a system for that. I would, just as a side note, I wasn't sure where to put it in, but make sure that your system works with the system of the other teachers. Even if it just has to do with when we take restroom breaks, getting drinks. If one class is allowed to have the cup on their desk and the other class is not allowed and they get to talking about it at home, it complicates things. So work with your other teacher. Make sure your procedures work together. For mobility, I notice on Jonah's procedures here, it says no more than one out of the classroom at a time. Obviously, it depends on what age level of students we're working with. So keep that in mind. Have a system for recess. For those of you who are teaching high school, it's not important necessarily that you line up at the door before you go out. But for those of you teaching first grade, I think that's a good procedure. But have a system for it. Responsibilities, job charts, who warms the lunches, teacher's helper, who starts the songs, things like that. Have a plan for those. Correcting and scoring. If you do score in class, that's a good thing to do occasionally. Have a system for how you do it. Pass to the left, pass to the right. Have your red pen here. Don't interrupt until we get to the end unless you completely lost your place. Just have a system for that. Plan the end of your day. You ever know how 3 o'clock sneaks up on you? It just does. And so if you can make so that at the end of the day you're not still trying to teach a social studies class and then they're supposed to close your books and go home and begin your lesson. Try not to let that happen. I try to make so that your students have opportunity to at least begin the lesson in that class period. Also, I like to, if there's notes for parents, try to just have a little bit of time to do that. I even like to sometimes make so I can find a desk under here before school's out and just kind of leave in an orderly way. Be a good example to your students. Expect them not to leave things strewn across the room. Leave in an orderly way and leave smiling. I like to sing. We have a number of songs, and they'll tell you what Mr. Miller's favorite songs are. But it makes my day when I hear them at the top of their voices singing a song that we just finished singing for dismissal. We planted that seed, and they're out there on the parking lot singing away. I enjoy hearing that. Leave smiling. Leave on time. If you can develop systems for lunch boxes and things like that, that's very helpful. Okay, so I've convinced you that procedures are important. And now, someone just totally misses it. And the next thing you know, they're running down the hall. This will be your first grader, second grader. Generally, for a procedure, I just say go back and walk. If they didn't put the heading in the right place or forgot the heading or got their math page all jumbled up, just do it again. Make sure that you're consistent. I had a student one time, I am almost ashamed to tell it in a group like this, but he said, "Mr. Miller, you're kind of like a jerk rope. You know, a tow rope? Where you hit it real hard and all of a sudden, boom, here it comes." Because I'd tell him, okay, you always have to put your heading here. And as the heading disappears, and all of a sudden I get tired of it because I have a paper that I don't know. I don't even know which lesson this was on. There's no name on it. And I have to figure it out. And I'm tired of it. Next day I come to school and say, whoever's paper this is, you have to do the whole lesson over again. Now, I'm not sure if I was quite that radical. But you get the point. If you realize you've let a procedure slide, that's your fault. Take responsibility for it and say, you know, I've noticed that you and I haven't kept up with this. So let's go back and do this right. I'm going to do better. You do better. One of the things that is very effective, you heard Brother Jonah say this the other day, if someone forgets again and again, it's not a procedure issue anymore. It's an obedience issue. And we've gone to another rule now. Notes to parents are super effective. And ladies, you can write notes to parents. And you know, I've noticed it is generally the same distance to the parking lot from my desk as it is from the other direction. From the parking lot to my desk, from the desk to the parking lot. What I'm saying is, I wish the parents would communicate with me more. You know what? Just walk out there and visit with them. I'm a parent. I know how much I appreciate when the teachers do that. CLE has a system of demerits and detentions. 3 demerits equal a detention. I know. I've been there. And I also know that helped me to be more careful. Sometimes I wasn't sure if I had a demerit or not, but I suspected I might have, and it prompted more carefulness for the rest of the day. And so, I again, that system will not work if it's not consistently applied. Some teachers use a checkmark system.
I saw you talking to your neighbor.
With your name beside it. And a certain checkmark does this, two checkmarks do this, three checkmarks do this. Visual reminder, that's good for some students. Staying in for recess, I call it solitary refinement. I'm not a big fan of that. About the only time I use that is for the show-off student, because it really takes the fun out of it. They're often the more active ones. It takes the fun out of showing off if there's really no one to show off to. But so many times it's the students who need that exercise and activity in order to be able to focus again, and then we have them camping out in their desks at recess time. And we've done them and ourselves a disfavor. So be careful about using staying in for recess as a punishment for procedures. Now, this is a workshop. I told you to be thinking about things that your teacher did to help you follow procedures. Ideas.
If we had to go to the restroom during class or during period, we needed to stay in at recess however long it took us. So it was quick.
If you need to go to the restroom during class, you stay in recess however long that took. That improves efficiency. Appreciate that. One of the things that I'd encourage you to do, so if a number of you are teaching for the first time this year, you'll get into schools with procedures that are different than what you're used to. Try to be patient with that. For instance, at the school where I began teaching, the custom was to have water bottles at every desk. And you can only imagine the chaos that that creates. But I quickly learned that this is something that's very important to some of the parents. So that's okay. Maybe after I teach there for 10 years and then I'll have a right to try to change that one. Don't be in a hurry to change things, but at the same time, if there's something that's not in place that should be in place, do your responsibility. One thing that I've noticed is that larger schools tend to need more procedures than smaller schools. Younger students tend to need more procedures than older students. I was in Kansas recently for my dad's funeral, and something that just amazed me was how smoothly they do things back there. We have some smaller churches here in California that I related a lot to. And we can have a fellowship meal and stretch it out all afternoon. in Kansas, it was interesting that the director is someone that I trusted, had a lot of respect in, and I knew that as part of the family, I could just sit back and things would happen. Such a blessing. But you know what? Just as people were filing through the line at the end and we were getting ready to head over to the cemetery, there was a Kansas rainstorm like I haven't seen in quite a while. And it dumped rain. You know what? I didn't worry about it. I knew that Dale would tell us what to do next. And so it was so loud on the roof you could hardly hear, but they stood up and said, okay, we've changed the plans. We're going to serve you your meal first, and then knowing the weather in Kansas, we'll go over there next. And I think it was like 8 minutes. They had the tables set up and the food out on the tables. And were encouraging us, come on over here. Now, my wife is used to this more laid back, if it happens when it happens, small group type of thing. It almost gave her whiplash. But two things I want you to notice. Just because there were procedures in place, even that bump in the road didn't derail things. The other thing I want you to notice is that because I trusted the man in charge, I wasn't shook up with something unusual that came up. That was beyond our control. And I think that you as a teacher, as you follow these procedures, will gain trust from your students that bring glory to God. Thank you for being here today.